Blog Talk Radio.
With all kinds of things, and today we have the guy that's going to tell you all about it. My co-hosts today are Ron Cole. He is a famous astrologer. He's going to tell you everything you want to know about the stars, moon, sky, all the aspects, planets. I can't even tell you, there's so much to say and do that I won't even do him justice by saying, you know, what he does, because he's an astrologer that has studied many, many years, and I just am so fascinated with this subject that every week I just can't wait till I have Ron Cole on. The second half of this show is our famous Kelly Coulter. She reads Atlantean life cards. She will be taking readings. She is a fabulous, fabulous reader. She does something very unusual. It's very hard to find what she does. and she's excellent and a specialist in that field. So I'm going to start with Ron. First, I'm going to start telling you about me. If you haven't ever heard about me, I don't know how that's not possible because all I talk about is me. But my name is Bonnie Albers. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me at Bonnie Mosenter Albers. I also have another Facebook page called Bonnie Albers on Air. Either one, you can just like me, and you'll get all of our updates. You can also find me at balbers714@aol.com. And I have two websites. They're both kind of under construction. One is my favorite and is still under construction. It's bonniealbers-on-air.com. And the other one is bonniealbers.com. Both you can use. You can get a hold of me that way. I am a medium. I'm a psychic. I'm intuitive. I love spirit. So anything I can do with spirit, you're going to find me doing. I'm also a nurse. I'm a legal nurse consultant, and I am a count. I specialize in love romance relationships, and I do what they call interim. It's with kids between high school and college years. So I bring to you all of the experience, but my favorite is spirit. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest, Ron, who's sitting there waiting patiently for me to let him on. That Ron Cole is a very, very, very excellent and famous astrologist. He's been on the radio. I can't even tell you how many times that I have heard him. He does my astrology, and he can be reached at livingastro@aol.com. I always forget the AOL. And he does readings. He does fabulous readings. They're so long and in-depth. This is somebody, in fact, I had my chart done, and I get updates every 6 months. He's so in-depth that you really, you're going to want more and more every time you talk to him. And I'm going to say hello to him right now. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Bonnie. I just smile when I hear your introduction because you're so full of energy.
I hope so. Oh, you're so sweet. And, you know, I play that song for you, Ron, because when I hear the Age of Aquarius, I think of you. And that's why with you and Kelly both, I chose that song to play. And every time I hear it, I just want to dance. I want to get up, twirl you around, and dance, my friend.
So do I. I almost was dancing when I was hearing it on the opening today.
I know. And you know what, Ron, we have so much, and I want to get to talk about this because this month, starting with the end of December, going all the way through January, and I'm not an astrologist, so as excited as I get, I'm going to hand you over to the audience, but we have a full moon tonight in our sign, which is Cancer. And so I know everybody's going to want to hear about this and a new moon at the end of the month. And what's in between. So I'm going to hand you over. Can you tell us what's going on this month in the sky?
Yes, right now we are in the most unique full moon of the year because this is the one full moon that occurs in its own sign. Of all 12 signs of the zodiac, the moon is the ruler of the sign of Cancer. And whenever we have the full moon, when the sun is in Capricorn, which is now, we have the full moon in Cancer. And that makes it particularly notable. Now, it is possible to have two full moons in Cancer if one occurs very close to the beginning of the sign and at the ending, but that's quite rare. Today would be the one and only full moon this year. The 3 days of the full moon were yesterday, Tuesday, today, Wednesday, and tomorrow, Thursday. And full moon energies are very interesting because I've talked to people who work in police stations, hospitals, and they can see that people act differently when there's a full moon. They're more keyed up. They're more charged up. They're more energized. And sometimes they even get a little more accident prone or a little more erratic. Now, what's interesting is it's not just when the moon is in the sky overhead that they act like this. It's when, right now, when we don't see the moon. So I've had people say to me, this has been one of the proofs of astrology to me, that we don't have to have the moon rising and in the sky and at night for people to act that way. In fact, when we're doing this recording today of this show, it's daylight, and we are still in a full moon. But that means the whole Earth is experiencing a full moon energy. And you can just feel it. It stimulates some people to creativity. It tips other people to restlessness. And I have a theory as to why. Now, this is, Bonnie, my own theory. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to hold a grain of salt against others. But if you go back to our ancestral human being history, primitive man was a hunter. And I'm talking like the caveman era. They were hunters, and we know that they hunted at the time of the full moon because larger deposits of animal bones were found in intervals stretched out that would be about 27 to 28 days apart. And that means there was larger kills and larger hunting going on. And anthropologists made the discovery that this was related to the full moon. And so animals are out more. They're more active. There's more light. You could see the landscape. And so there were more kills and hunting. Well, that energy is ingrained in our lineage, in our cells. And that's another reason why I think people become quite active during the full moon, even back to our primitive ancestors. And I hate to use the word primitive. Let's just say our ancestral history. We were hunters during the time of the full moon, and we still become somewhat restless and action-orientated during it throughout the time today.
Well, you know what, Ron? I mean, that's so cool because, and if I say wow one more time, I'm going to hit myself, really, but I don't really mean that because I'm not a violent person. But again, every time you come on, the wow comes. But when I was an ER physician, I mean, an ER nurse, God, I only wish I was a physician, but when I was an ER nurse, we used to say when the full moons came, oh, my goodness, they're all coming out. And they still do that in the hospitals today. So, and you know, it even affects fishermen. So it's interesting that when people say, oh, they don't really believe in astrology, they live astrology almost every day because I know the fishermen look at the tides, and the tides are run by the moon. Am I right?
Absolutely. And that's why many calendars will have fish symbols on what days to fish and blank dates where there wasn't any recommended days to fish because fish will bite more on certain days than others. And this is all based on lunar cycles. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bonnie.
No, I was just going to say, I wonder, you know, any of the fishermen, you know, listening to us or people who love fishing or have friends or anybody, you could ask because I know that my husband's a fisherman and he always looks at the tide. So, again, when people say, oh, my goodness, astrology, how could anybody think about astrology? We think about astrology all the time, and that's what I think is so cool about the moon. It actually brings everything into focus for both sides of, you know, I always say I walk into, you know, two worlds, the metaphysical world or the spirit world and the physical world. It actually brings, I think astrology brings both those worlds together. Now, I'm so excited, so go ahead and talk about the new moon, you know, but I still want to talk about this full moon in Cancer. What are the qualities that we're going to see with a Cancer full moon versus another full moon?
We're going to be much more reflective about our past, our childhood, remembering when this happened, when that happened. We're going to be more reflective about our parents and situations that happen, holidays and other times, integrating things with our parents. We're going to be much more inclined to eat, to enjoy restaurants or cooking. Now, people do that all the time, but it becomes more heightened during the full moon in Cancer because that sign rules the stomach, and it is a sign that is connected with food and cooking, and it's a sign that is very home-orientated. That's why that family reference of the past, and people become more nostalgic during this full moon. Even in dreams, people will have dreams of family members they may not have consciously thought about in many a year, or many a month when we have the full moon in Cancer.
That is so interesting. I, you know, because it's our moon, it's your moon, it's my moon, I just think that is so interesting. And now we go from that full moon to another new moon. So what does that have for us?
Yes, this is going to be the second new moon in January. We had the first one January 1st. The new moon is when the sun and moon are sitting together in the same sign of the zodiac. And January 1st, it was the sun and moon in Capricorn. Well, on January 30th, it's going to be the sun and moon in Aquarius. So that will be the Aquarius new moon. And it's at 10 degrees Aquarius 55 minutes. Now, from what I've been able to do some research on, the Chinese New Year moves around because it always occurs whenever we have the new moon in Aquarius. So this will be the Chinese New Year. Now, every year, a brand new animal sign of the zodiac starts, and people kind of can be familiar with those because if you go to Chinese restaurants, they give you those placemats, and they say the year of the dog, the year of the dragon, the year of the horse. Well, from what I found out, because I went and discussed something with a Chinese individual, this one, I believe, is supposed to become the year of the horse. But every animal has a different element assigned to it. There's five elements in the Chinese zodiac. There's fire, earth, air, water, and metal. So it could be a metal horse, it could be an earth horse, but this year is supposed to be the year of the fire horse. Now that can be a bit concerning because this is the one year that Chinese individuals fear to have children born. I'm telling you, to the point that many women will not get pregnant or do any attempt that they can to not become pregnant during the year of the fire horse. Now I've tried to find research why that became part of the lexicon of China and why it is feared so much, and I've never really gotten a direct, clear understanding of it, but it is the one combination of all the animals of the zodiac that is considered kind of a nervous year. Now, that does not mean we're going to have outward political and world events that are challenging. They are more concerned with children that will be born during the year of the fire horse because that will carry that energy throughout their life.
Wow. Do you know what? I have eight of my planets, I think, or six of my planets in a fire sign. So just
yes,
think, I wonder, you know, if this is the year of the fire horse and I have six or whatever amount of fire signs, if that is going to ignite anything in my house of Leo with all those fire planets. Does you know anything? Would that transfer over to what we look at as in astrology?
No, they do it differently, Bonnie. What they do is you could have the year of the water horse, the metal horse, the earth horse, the air horse, fire horse. They rotate them, and next time around, 12 years from now, when the year of the horse starts, it will not be the fire horse. It could be the earth horse, water horse, air horse, or metal horse. And it's this one combination of fire and horse that bothers Chinese people from ancestral times till now. So their concept of fire is not really related to our having fire planets in our chart.
Okay, because, you know, I'm so newbie at this, you never know. Now let me ask about this new moon. It's an Aquarius, so, and it is the age of Aquarius. Is that unusual,
yes,
or do it? Oh, so what? Oh my goodness! I'm just like tingling. So we have the Cancer full moon, the new moon in Aquarius, and we're in the age of Aquarius. What do you think? I mean, it's just so, like, you know, just everything seems to just be coming together for a Cancer sun and the Aquarius moon and the Aquarius time. What do you think the Aquarius new moon means for us being in the Aquarius age?
Actually, that's a very interesting question because many astrologers just dismiss the new moons and full moons as just happening on an annual basis. But we really need to look at Aquarius because that is the time that we are in alignment, so to speak, or in harmony with the age that we have just entered. And this age is going to be around a while. Each age will last 2,160 years, and we've been barely 60 years into the age of Aquarius, so we've got about 2,100 years to go. Now, to answer your question about the Aquarius, see, we got a long time. We're just on the cusp, so to speak, of this age. So when we're in the sign of Aquarius, the sun sign, and then the moon enters it, and we get the new moon, there is a tremendous amount of astrological alignment between the characteristics of the age we are evolving through and the dynamics of the moment of those 3 days that the sun and moon are sharing together in Aquarius. And that is helping the individual become their own master, helping individuals acquire awareness, helping individuals bring talents to the surface that have been repressed or forgotten, such as psychic ability. Human beings should be as psychic as all the rest of the animals in the world, and yet, curiously, we're not, and it's because we have repressed or forgotten our psychic, intuitive, natural talent. Aquarius is going to start liberating and bringing things to the surface that have been locked away or forgotten. And it's also going to help liberate talents and things that are unique to each individual, qualities of what they're capable of doing in the world and how they are capable of expressing themselves. And each year, we're going to become more and more aligned with the Aquarius energies.
I think, you know, I love the idea of having all people open up their psychic abilities. I think we see that, and it's so funny you said we've been in this for like 60 years, because I would say in the last, I'm going to say 10, you know, for me, maybe earlier than that, and now just exploding on TV. You see and you hear, and you can walk down the street and mention metaphysics or psychic ability, and you don't see the shunning that used to go on. You see all the shows on TV that, from Ghost Hunters to Paranormal Activity to mediums and everybody's so glued to it that I really believe we kind of threw in our senses are now becoming accustomed to that being, you know, what's normal versus abnormal. Do you think so?
Absolutely. This is all part of Aquarian's individuality and bringing up that which has been forgotten. It's never been really lost. It's just been repressed within us, and it's just being liberated. All of this started in the 1960s when people began to recognize qualities of themselves, and that's when we got terms like, well, what's your sign, when they started meeting people, and people began to understand the 12 signs of the zodiac, and people began to go into encounter sessions, and people began to study intuitive qualities about themselves and meditation and mysticism. And that's led to today's date, in which we have a much greater intensity and explosion of all that. Plus, Bonnie, all of the electronic revolution that's permeated our whole world is under the rulership of Aquarius. Aquarius is associated with computers and the internet. It's associated with televisions. It's associated with automobiles. It's associated with cell phones or any phones. And even the medium we are on now, radio, is all connected to Aquarius. It's the sign of the individual not only liberating abilities within them, finding their own uniqueness. It's also individuals having interactions from one to another with no global boundaries between countries. In other words, the ability to link with anyone anywhere, such as the internet or on radio.
Well, that's just exploding. And what's really interesting, and I love it so much, because, I mean, that's what we're on right now, is that we reach the world. We reach the world on internet, on computers. I'm going to tell you that I, and Pat's listening, I'm sure, I have to hire someone to get me up, you know, to do some things for me, because, you know, I was always the hands-on person, and I didn't like to, you know, do the computers just boggled my mind, even though that I do it, and I have gotten so good, and people are like shocked that I have. But, you know, it discombobulates my brain to do all this on the computer, but all the people born, I think in the last maybe 10 years of my son's 20, so maybe in the 20 years, they're so proficient at it that I think their brain's just going to be, it's going to be telepathy soon. You're not even going to need a computer. You're going to say, your thoughts are going to transfer right to another because that's the way it's going. I mean, look at what's next after the computer. I mean, it would be brain power is what I think.
Well, you're right. If you look at the sign of Aquarius, it appears to be two parallel lines of bumps, which many people say, oh, that's waves of water. But actually, it isn't. It's waves of the brain. Aquarius is the sign that deals with frequency vibration. And it does rule brain waves, electricity. It rules radio waves, television antenna receiving waves. So all of these wavelengths, vibrationary things are being enhanced and discovered. And the brainwave pattern of Aquarius is exactly what I believe you hit it on the mark now. This is going to be one of the big factors that we are going to be opening up to in the next number of decades because we're going to be having the ability to interconnect with others through frequency vibration, through thought forms and brainwave projecting energies. And that's just the beginning. Imagine we have over 2,100 years of this age to go.
I know. I'm just excited. I hope I live that long. Maybe, you know, my brainwave, I mean, on the earthly form, because, you know, I will be spirit. And that's what I was just thinking before we take our caller who you're going to do for a reading. But and that is my sweet Susan Z, but I will tell you this, that I just feel that we are going to explode brain-wise. We only use 10% of our brain. We have 90% left. I believe the reason that we have the 90% left, and I'm a nurse also, is for this. And, you know, spirit, and I know you know, Ron, and this is kind of off the astrology charts, but well, not really, but spirit runs on different vibrations than we do down here. Or we, I don't say down here because that sounds like we're somewhere, you know, that we shouldn't be. But we're all on different energy frequencies. And I believe we have different, you know, planes. We have different dimensions. And if all the frequency ever came together or close together, that's where the communication to spirit for me will really take off for the people here because spirit is vibration.
Absolutely. This is very, very interesting because working with, interconnecting with, and utilizing frequency vibrations is going to be one of the biggest human unfolding discoveries and implements during the entire age of Aquarius. And one more thing. This is everybody's first incarnating life in the new beginning age of Aquarius. Unless you were a young baby who died for some reason suddenly and were reborn. Other than that, everybody else alive, this is your first introductory life into this new age.
You know, that's so fascinating, and I'd like to talk more about it because I think we're going to go into different ages besides Aquarius, and we're going to go into aspects, but we're going to have to wait till next week to do it. It just seems like the time goes with you so fast, and I know Susan is waiting very patiently, and she has all week. We do have other guests that you are going to do their charts for, and I'll be announcing that on at the end, or I'll be getting in touch with them. And we're also going to change the show up a little, I think, in a couple weeks. We're going to take general questions for astrology. Not your chart, but what you want to ask about astrology, because Ron is so knowledgeable, I hate not putting them on. But we are right now doing readings for people and getting them used to what they are. And we're going to be talking to the fabulous Susan Z in just a minute, Ron. So I'm going to put her on because I know she's chomping at this bit to get on and hear about herself. So I'm pulling her in. Susan!
Chomping at the bit, huh?
Well, if you're not chomping, hey, it's the fire.
Yeah, let me go put my saddle on here.
Just don't have a whip in your hand, that's all. Ron,
yeah.
This is Susan. You know Susan.
Hello, Susan.
This is Ron.
Pleasure to meet you.
Hi, Ron. I am looking forward to you kind of dissecting my birth chart. I've had it done in various stages before, but Bonnie has just been raving about the other astrology readings that you've done for her guests. And so, I am very much looking forward, because I have been in major change and flux. And as if you've looked at my chart, you already know that. So,
well,
go for it, Ron.
At any time, don't be afraid to ask questions, because I start talking and I talk. And when I do readings for people, I talk like 2.5 hours straight through. So please, if I start getting too loquacious here, you know, don't be afraid to ask a question. Now, Susan, you were almost born on the full moon. Like the next day after your birth would have been the full moon. You've got the sun in Libra and the moon in very early Taurus, sun in late Libra, moon in early Taurus. And those are both ruled by Venus. Venus is the connector to both signs, Taurus and Libra. And I noticed that you've got Venus sitting in Virgo, and so
yes.
I'm going to kind of put a bunch of things together. Oh, I heard you say yes, so you understand
these
companies. That means you're good with details. You're good with picking up and seeing and noting the subtle, the detailed things that a lot of people goes right over their head. Speaking of the age of Aquarius, which we were, you've got that sign on your career house, way up on the top of the chart. And that is ruled by the interesting planet Uranus. And some say Uranus, so excuse me if we say it differently. But Uranus is connected to this new age. And I noted immediately that the ruling planet of your career house, Uranus, falls in your house of finance and money and income, house number 2. So there's this interconnection between your house of career and your house of income. And it is the new age connection. It is the new age energy that we're talking about here. Anytime in astrology, we refer to the sign of Aquarius or its ruling planet Uranus, it is basically intertranslatable to say we're talking about Aquarius breakthrough new age energy. And you've got a type of chart in which you can have a very definite career connected to work with spirituality, mysticism, or metaphysics. And you have great ability to deal with energy vibrations from people and things. You have insight into people through, and the only way to say it is energy vibrations. That's back to what I was saying a few minutes ago about Aquarius. It's the sign that almost has a little bit of an X-ray-like vision and sees into people and sees talents and sees abilities and sees things that may be hidden to the conscious mind. It has this ability to almost penetrate into the underlayers or the subconscious mind. And it's very good to actually have the ruling planet of your career house in your house of money, because it connects those two together. But this is the self-employed sign. This is the self-employed sign. Aquarius is the sign of being your own boss, calling your own hours, working as the captain of your own ship. And people who have Aquarius on the career house like you do, and then having its ruler in your house of finance, you are self-employed, or you own your own business, or you are your job. And the key with that is to become talented in something. And wherever you go, that talent goes with you. If you move to another city, you can start a business with that same capacity, because it's within you. It's not a company outside of you that you have to get organized and open up offices. It's not a place where you will sit at a desk and that is your work. It is you and your talent. And that's part of the thing about this chart, is developing a quality of being, particularly in helping the individual understand their own individuality and uniqueness, and then carrying that ability wherever you go. Now, I looked at the elements, and we have planets in Western astrology in fire signs, earth signs, air signs, and water signs. We do not have the metal element here like they do in Chinese zodiac. And you've got above average in air signs. You've got three planets in Libra, and that's an air sign, and you've got a fourth thing with having Gemini rising. And by the way, as a little aside, I'm not going to say it, but you and I were born in the same city, so we'll keep that quiet between ourselves. Okay, so when you were born in that city, Susan, the sign of Gemini was coming up over the eastern edge of the earth. That was the ascendant or rising sign. That's a particularly smart ascendant. That gives a person a higher IQ and a great ability to assimilate and integrate various levels of knowledge. And then here comes Libra, one of the other air signs. Air signs, by the way, are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius, and these three all relate to the intelligence of the human being and the communication prowess of a human being, such as writing, teaching, talking, counseling, words, ideas, anything that relates to communicationary abilities. And your chart is enhanced with that energy more than even the other three of fire, earth, and water. So first of all, your soul is working on its capacity for communication, knowledge, insight, and sharing that knowledge with others to help them understand their own individualness. That's kind of how the overview with having these strong air signs. Now, you've got Mercury and the Sun sitting right next to each other. They're only a little notch apart. And I've noticed that in modern-day astrology, that's considered good. If you went back 40 or 50 years ago, they would say, oh, that's combust. Any planet near the sun combusts and burns up its energy. Well, that's an antiquated way of looking at things. We don't even consider that anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, 40, 50 years ago, I probably was combusting. So.
Well, I mean, the term
Susan,
is
you
antiquated.
Combust now.
Well, the term is antiquated. What we mean today is it means the sun gives power to any planet it's near, rather than burns it up. That's the old expression of 100 years ago or up to 40, 50 years ago. So when the sun is near Mercury, you have capacity to write. You have capacity to design study material. You have capacity to use a gift with words. Words as a counselor, words as an individual to help others, words to answer other people's questions. You've got a gift with the communicationary empowerment of yourself. Not everybody has the sun near Mercury, and when they do, there is that gift of communication. Now, some are great teachers, some are tremendous authors, others yet are tremendously qualified in the counseling field. And in Libra, you kind of could do a little bit of everything because Libra tends to try to balance everything out. You've got the capacity to be an author, self-employed. You'd have the capacity to be an incredible counselor. And I noticed that this occurs in the house of health, house number 6, Sun, Mercury, and Mars there. So you have power to counsel people, to bring them into levels of awareness that can, for the overall picture, improve their health, improve their physical well-being in the world, make them more holistic, make them more healthy and balanced. Now, here's why. This is the house that deals with the condition of the human body, the area of health, not only for yourself but for others. And you've got Mars in there, and Mars gives you energy. Whatever house it's in, you've got a certain energy charge in that place. And you also have the ability to deal with anger and feral issues. So you could be an incredibly good psychological, mental health, or spiritual counselor. And you have this great ability to help people become aware of situations where anger, even violence, could have happened in past lives or in other times in their evolution of their soul, and anger issues, and if that's still attached to them, how to work through that and work it out and move on. You can also understand and help people who have issues in karmic links to parents, because the son is related to one of the parents, the father, but we don't have to just link that. It's almost opposite the moon, so that also brings in the mother. So you have great ability to help people understand in the evolution of their life's course how their present-day life parents may have played a role in past lives or a past life, and the reason why they came back together again as parent-child. And you're very good in honing into the spirit of the person, because the sun is also related to the spirit. And in Libra, you make, well, make is a strong word, you help people to understand how and why things occur in their life by understanding the process of balancing, like the two balancing dishes of Libra, how things once evolved to where they are now, how things once happened and now how they are happening now, the two comparing and contrasting and balancing energies. With Libra, you could particularly help people in relationships, because Libra is associated with how we partnerize with someone else in affairs of the heart, as well as in business partners. But it's still how we link up with others, much deeper than friendship, more in the sense of personal, like I said, heartfelt relationships. Now, back to that Venus in Virgo. I don't want to forget that. That can be a wonderful thing for you. It really can, in, when you understand its true empowerment. All right. Venus is supposed to be in its fall in Virgo. It's supposed to be exalted in the sign opposite Virgo, Pisces, meaning it's supposed to be more enhanced and positive in Pisces and a little more challenged in Virgo. Now, that means with Venus in Virgo, in this lifetime, you could be coming in to work off issues yourself, where relationships, relationship energies, love energies, romance and dating energies could sometimes create ripples, let's put it that way, or up and down challenges for you. It doesn't mean you're going to have this throughout your whole life, but you do have a certain karma in your chart in this life, being born under Libra, Venus's sign, and then having Venus in Virgo, to draw people to you from past lives that you once had a relationship with before, whether it was romantic or parent-child or friend-to-friend. It could be other relationship ways, but you draw them back into this lifetime in dating, romance, or love ways. So in this case, you're probably never going to have a brand new soul come into your consciousness in this life as Susan in the area of romance or relationships, because these would be individuals or an individual singular that you had not finished off something with before. And Virgo says it's the little details that tripped you up in a past life. It's the little small things that you didn't finish off. It's the little tiny stuff that now needs to be focused in like a magnifying glass to complete.
Well, that explains all the man-child, the man-child that I've attracted into their life. They still think I'm their mother.
And that's the key. You're opposition sun and moon, and that's one of the things in which sometimes, not always, but sometimes people will draw individuals to them who, especially in a woman's chart, a man or men who want a mother, who want to be mothered, who want an extension of their mother in that relationship. And see, mm-hmm. it's a little tender for you because both sun and moon are in Venus-ruled signs. Venus rules Taurus, moon. Venus rules Libra, sun. And that's also the planet that deals with relationships. But you've got good old, large, harmonious, expansionary Jupiter in your house of relationships, which generally means you would probably be the happiest if you met someone from a place far distance from where you were born or from a foreign country or born and raised in a foreign country, because Jupiter often gives a sense of somebody from a long distance away or somebody
like Jupiter themselves.
Well, yeah, Jupiter would be interesting because you've got Jupiter in Sagittarius and then you've got Mars, the planet that deals with men and male energies, also in Sagittarius. And you've got Sagittarius on your relationship house, and that normally all translates to mean bringing someone into your life who is from another country or who lived for a period of time in another country or who's multilingual. But also, it's very important that they have to have an expansionary consciousness, that they have to not just believe in the mundane, black and white, this is it and that's all, that type of thinking. They can't believe that way. They've got to think bigger, larger, on a higher level. And I know that's
absolutely
hard to find but that's what your chart is
describing
for. Now, I like the fact that you've got the moon in the 12th house, because that's the house that deals with our present-day subconscious, but it's also the house of what we bring from past lives into this life and understanding. In other words, where we lived before, what type of life we had, what type of life experiences were we undergoing. And the moon is very, very interesting to be in that house, because in ancient astrology, the moon was always considered the energy connected to the soul. In ancient Egypt, for example, instead of using, the moon, by the way, rules Cancer, the sign of Cancer. Instead of using a crab or crustacean for Cancer, they would use the scarab beetle for being emblematic of that sign. And so the moon and the scarab beetle were interconnected. And the scarab was supposed to be the energy or emblematic pattern of souls incarnating and the energy of the soul's journey through many lives. So there is a connection, even from ancient astrology, to see where we came from before and what we did. And your chart even doubles that by having that moon in that house of past lives. Number one, you have powerful mystical abilities that have been brought forth from past lives and are carried forth into this life as Susan by having the moon there, because the moon relates a lot to our past and what we connect with our past. And what do I mean by mystical? That's a very nebulous term. It could mean many things. You have worked a lot in past lives with goddess, feminine,
yes,
and female powers for creation, because the moon is related to the feminine power of creation, which is, for everyone listening, totally equal to the male power of creation. The male is not superior over it. In fact, it almost would be better for people to say God, goddess, when they talk about deities, because the feminine power is equal, and it is reflected by or ruled by the moon in the chart, where the sun represents the male power of creation. So with having the moon there in the 12th house, this is particularly a journey that you've had connected with female empowerment and female vibrations, female teachers, female guides, female power of the universe. And then it's in Taurus. So what you have the ability to do is bring energies of awareness from your past lives and from other people's past lives and bring it down to earth in a matter-of-fact, understandable, explaining way, because Taurus is the sign kind of tell it in a practical way. Let me know the basics. Bring it down to earth so I understand it. That's kind of the energy of that sign. And you have that ability to do this. Number one, I believe in the journey of the evolution of your soul, you connected, it has to be a number of lifetimes ago, I'm just speculating that, I don't know that for sure, into the power of the feminine when everyone else was still connected to the God-centered male vibration. You were bringing in the power of the feminine, and you did not do it in a diabolical way. You did not do it in an evil way. You did it in a way of connecting with the other side of creation, and you were given or acquired great knowledge about evolvement of the souls of people. That's where the moon and that scarab beetle comes in. Now, in this life, Libra's balancing all this stuff together. That's why you had to be born under Libra. You have the ability to work with people and explain to them their origins, their vibrations, the sources of incarnating experiences that they have had, and how that ties into the now. Now, this kind of has been a set of circumstances that have been developing over a number of lives, and this life reaches a certain crescendo because, like I said, Susan, this is your first life in the age of Aquarius, and it's all of our first lives. And where do you have Aquarius? On your career house. Where do you have Uranus, the ruler of Aquarius, in your house of money and income? So you would develop, even though it may not have been there as a child or as a teenager, the consciousness eventually came out and developed further to help people understand their source, their core, their evolution. So you do deeper, that's that Venus and Virgo energy work with people than someone who would just give a cursory on the top psychic reading. You go deep into people and their soul's evolution. And that's also that moon in Taurus in the 12th house. By the way, the moon is very well placed in Taurus. It's said to be exalted there. And it makes a good aspect to Uranus, the ruler of the New Age. And so it also makes a wide good aspect to Venus and a good aspect to Saturn. So do you have any questions so far?
No, actually, I'm like spot on. I mean, you're spot on. It's like, let me tell our listeners, I've been taking notes as you've been writing. If people are not already aware of that, I'm Bonnie's partner, a radio partner, on Monday and Tuesday. Hi, Bonnie. Are you being so quiet? You're so sweet.
I know. You know how bad I wanted to say, I want my moon in the 12th house. Ron, I want you to make my moon in the 12th house because I want those things. It's not fair. But go ahead.
Oh, you have others. But we and on our shows, we do Akashic records. I'm an Akashic medium, which is reading
that makes
soul's
sense.
Name. And Bonnie does spirit communication. I'm an author and writer of the book Soul Windows, which is Secrets from the Divine, which is on Amazon.com, by the way, which absolutely, what she said, that my ability to explain how, you know, we go deeper beyond in the soul of the material world and the spirit, that's exactly what it's about. I'm a holistic therapist with the health that you I was attached to helping people get healthy. I'm also an emotional addiction counselor, and also an intuitive, and do readings. So you know everything that you have said, and that's how I earn a living. And plus, I sell naturopathic systems on online. So it's all about sharing of knowledge. And one of the things that, when I was a child, that made me a not very well-liked child, by the way, is that I was able to see behind everyone's mask. And when an adult tried to con me or lie to someone else, I would say, "Oh no, you're not telling the truth. I know, blah 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 blah." So, needless to say, I was punished a lot for that. But that is the ability
I love you,
I've
Susan.
Had. I got a
I love you, girlfriend.
but everything that you have said has been spot on.
Well,
Susan, why don't you ask him?
But see, these are all Mercury rule things, the health, the sales of things, the communication, the writing, the book, the insight, the reading. All of this is ruled by Mercury, and that's the power of Mercury on the sun. So there is no such thing as a combust Mercury. It's an enhanced Mercury. And also your Gemini rising gives you the ability to do multi things in the world, not just one straightforward lineage type of way. It's got to be, you know, multiple things. You know, last week we discussed the nodes very briefly, and the north node is connected with where you're going in this life. It's like dharma. It's like a path that you're supposed to be on, and the south node represents where you came from in the past, and you're supposed to let go of that. Well, your north node is at 4 degrees, 54 minutes Taurus, and your moon is at 6 degrees, 1 minute Taurus. So your north node is aligned with that 12th house moon in Taurus. And even if you looked at the nodes only, it would say, aha, this is an indicator that you are supposed to be utilizing in this life as Susan all of the accumulated life experiences and knowledge, especially from the divine feminine, and working with it to now bring it forth to help others and to help them themselves. And it's like the north node is aligned up with your own personal scarab beetle because Cancer, I always associate with a crab, but sometimes I still see what the Egyptians saw in it, that scarab beetle window of the soul itself type of energy. And so with that moon, the ruler of the soul and the soul's evolution connected with your north node, that's another thing. You have a destiny in this life to deal with that, and you have hit the nail on the mark then in pursuing these careers.
Well, Ron,
but I
bet
they
didn't
come easily. I bet they didn't come easily, Susan. You've got Saturn in the fourth house, which means that you had to really come out of a very different kind of environment.
Yeah.
To where you
raised,
are now.
Yeah, raised Catholic, girls boarding school, Christian Science, and Midwest, Bible thumpers. And it's like, but actually, that were closet psychics. So it was like, you know, don't tell anybody that we do this, but. So
you know why?
It was like,
Pluto was in that house. That's also the hidden psychic ability that were there, but it was
zip-lit.
Pluto is something hidden.
Yes, I mean, I watched in my family amazing gift, but it was always like on the QT.
Yeah, but you're not going to settle for that quiet zip lip. You're the one who would break through the ice. You'd be the one who would say, no, my destiny is way too strong to stay quiet and just zip lip and pass that energy on. I will not be that way. And all those air signs, you have to use your communicationary prowess, and you have done it.
Well, that's good.
Susan.
Go ahead, sweetie. I know you've got something to say. Say it.
I want your chart, and that's not fair, but I love you, so that's okay. But why don't you ask Ron, and I know we only have a few minutes, and gosh, Ron, it's like, you know, between you and Kelly, I need 4 hours. But do you, can you just ask, because I can't ask for you, but about your romance house, please, about what's coming for you if Ron sees anything in that house.
Yeah. Yes, I intuitively feel like that I'm getting ready finally to meet the love of my life coming up in this following year. It won't go away. It's, you know, just sitting there, and was wondering if that is in my astrological chart.
I want to mention that Saturn is not always the big bad boogeyman that we say it to be or hear about it in lectures or read about it in books. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is it's not going to be too long till Saturn gets into your house of relationships by transit. In fact, it enters Sagittarius Christmas Eve of 2014. And you've got 7 degrees Sagittarius on the beginning of your house of relationships. And Saturn is going to be there before we know it. Now, why I'm bringing that up is Saturn brings things that you've waited for that have been delayed in your life, or it's the ruler of planned, timed karma. And so karmically, starting in March of 2015, when Saturn enters your house of relationships, boy, that's pretty slow from Christmas Eve of this year till March of 2015, 3 months. But still, Saturn will enter that house, and what that means is it's finally going to reward you for the time and effort that you have waited. See, Saturn can be a difficult planet if you've done things wrong or if somebody has done really problematic things in certain areas of the life. When it goes through that area, it can throw you right off your apple cart. It can really upset everything. But if you've done the positive, if you've waited, if you've had the proper energy and hopes, if you have passed through your test of time, Saturn will be the great rewarder. Can be either way. And I see Saturn going over your Mars around January of 1 year from this month, 2015, and then it'll be in your relationship house about 2 months later. And so what I'm telling you are fairly close to meeting someone new, and if you meet them before January, you will find that next year, you will find that the energy will really start clicking, working, and integrating in January through March of 2015.
It won't make any difference that I'm not a virgin anymore, will it?
Well, with that Venus in Virgo, you
no,
always
Virgo.
Have that ability to renew yourself.
Oh, my God. Oh, I can't wait.
You know what, sister? I am just so happy for you. And you know what? You better invite Ron and me, or Ron and I, if I'm speaking correctly, to that romantic, wonderful flower-throwing wedding. So remember
us. I will. Absolutely, I will. Yeah, it's usually it's kind of, you know, readers have difficulty reading for themselves, as everyone knows that. It's like, but when you're on a karmic path, and it's like it's in college, and it's a major, it's like it starts, like it's a thumping that starts moving towards you like an elephant in a room. You can't miss it.
Well, listen, I just have to tell you guys, I have Kelly on board. Hi, Kelly.
Oh, hi.
Hey, good morning. This has been really cool.
So I like Kelly. I am so happy that we're all on together, because I know, Ron, Kelly's one of your biggest fans, and now I know Susan is, and you know I'm a diehard fan. So everybody, anybody, please get a hold of Ron. He's fabulous. If you think he's read your half an hour, he does a 2 to 3 hour reading that will knock your socks off, and I shouldn't tell you that because then it'll be, you
it
know.
It was fabulous. Spot on.
Well,
thank you,
Ron.
Well,
Susan, I hope this helped you.
Oh, yes, you
helped. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. I love you. Flowers, kisses, roses, and Aquarius to you. And I'll be talking to you very shortly, my friend. I love you.
And I love you all, too. It was a pleasure being on the show today.
Thank you, Ron. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you.
Indeed.
Bonnie, I'm going to say goodbye to you. And
I love you. Kelly,
rock the house.
All righty, thank you.
I've been trying to call back in on Susan's time. It's like, and today it was, you know, it's like we've just spent, we're still, this is the 1001 Arabian Nights nightmare move of, you know, moving stuff in our cars instead of the trailer. So it's like, yeah, we always seem to be shuffling things instead of being able to come in and listen.
I know. And you know what, Kelly? I know you love him so much, and everybody else does. He's so clear and concise. And if you have anything, you know, I'm going to ask everybody out there, it's tough for him to give a million readings because you see how detailed he is. And if you have any questions, general questions, in the next week, we are going to be taking question calls. Like if you have questions about your signs, what you're doing, about astrology in general, we do have some people who won a reading, and I'll go into that. But I want you to introduce Kelly Coulter. She is my Atlantean card reader. She's a life card reader. And she's listening to me, but I know she's moving, and she's really, really giving you all her all, because she didn't take any time off to do this, and she's going from house to house to be able to give you readings. I love you, Kelly, and I can't tell you how honored and fabulous we know you are, and I've got a couple people already that I know would love to talk to you. So I'm going to start with the first caller. Kelly, where can they get a hold of you if they want a reading from you?
The best place right now is my telephone, because we're in and out of where we have internet available right now. So, if anybody's interested, it's 719-289-4907. Leave a message, please. Yes, get by the coffee infomercial, because it's there. It's like, you know, sometimes you can click and bypass it and just say, yep, just want to leave a message. But make sure when you talk clearly, leave your name, leave your number, and I do return calls. Right now I'm having a heck of a time trying to get, you know, even on, I haven't been on Facebook for a while. I haven't even checked my email, I think, for probably a couple weeks. So it's like, yeah, the phone is my lifeline right now.
well, you know what, Kelly?
It's where I'm at.
Maybe you and I are still living in Atlantis. because maybe that's and we don't have cell phones or internet or Facebook, and maybe I wouldn't even need to have to do that because then we could we could really communicate telepathically, which is where I think we were at one point, and now we're not. But I'm going to tell you real quick before I take somebody. Oh my God, I'm so happy I could talk because sometimes I can't talk. When I have Ron or Susan on, because I'm just in total awe of listening. So it will happen to me when you start talking too. So I do want to tell you all that Kelly is I know. I just can't. You know, maybe I need to put some stocks or stuffing in my mouth. I don't know, or food, because I mean, you know, because I just can't figure it out. But I am going to take the first caller. And remember, Kelly loves reading. She reads her life cards. She's going to give you a little overview of this year, and you're going to be, like, so excited. So I'm going to take the first caller who has been waiting a while, and it's 2809. 2809, you are on with Kelly and I. So who am I speaking with? Hello? Hello?
They might need to unmute their phone. Sometimes people accidentally, I've found that out with, you know, when they put the phone up to their face, they mute it. It's like that's happened to my daughter and some of her friends. So if 2809, if you're listening, that's your last four numbers there. It's like just check your mute and see if you muted yourself, because sometimes that happens.
Oh, my goodness. Well, 2809, I'm going to
keep
coming
here.
Back to you.
Can you hear?
Wait a minute. Okay, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I and Kelly are wonderful. Can you tell us your name, please?
My name is Diana. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Bonnie.
Hello.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm very well.
You are talented yourself, aren't you?
Well, I don't know.
I
suppose in some ways.
Yes, you're very talented.
I suppose in some ways.
I'm going to hand you, did you want to have Kelly read your Atlantean life card?
Sure, that would be great.
You go for it, Kelly girl.
Okay. First of all, what I need is your month and day you were born and your current age.
Okay, the month was November. And the day was 18, and my current age is 56.
Diana, you're Diana. I didn't even recognize your voice. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Diana? Oh, Kelly, this is I can't even believe this. I just need to tell you this while you this is my girl. She and I went to nursing school together. She's one of my closest friends. In fact, I went to her mother's, I hate to say this, funeral, and her mother was sitting with me, and I had to tell her. But she is so close, her whole family. I love her husband, Lou, and she's been with me for how long now, Diana?
Don't say it.
2 years. We're only 2 years old. Okay, go ahead, Kelly. I'm so sorry. Diana, I love you, girlfriend. Here, go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. The other thing I'm gonna periodically check with Bonnie on, because Bonnie has spirits show up, and sometimes she doesn't recognize who they are or who they're for. So she could get a chance to often say, hey, by the way, somebody here that has a message for you. So Bonnie is doing that, so I will try to make sure that I give you that opportunity, Bonnie, because I know that you have those other ones who literally take, like Baskin Robbins, they take a number, they stand in line, they wait and say, are you going to mention me? Hello, I have a message.
Yeah, but you know what? She knows who's here. You know, what's really funny is Diana knows who's here because she's got her mom who always comes to me when she's here. So go ahead and read her cards. I'll get the messages for her.
All right. Sounds good. All right. You are a two of clubs. That is your birth card. And then because you're a Scorpio, you get two planetary ruling cards. The first one is the Four of Hearts, and the second one is the Six of Spades. The Two of Clubs is called the Conversation card, and can also be the flip side of that is beware it doesn't become the argumentative card, because you're really good at debate. You've got a really sharp mind, and you like to converse. You like to debate. You probably, if that was available in high school, you did that. And you like debating because you usually win those arguments.
Oh, yeah, she does.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay. With the two clubs there, it does just say, you know, there's a wide variety of personalities. Some of the two clubs people are fearful of nearly everything. I do not believe that is one of those. But you're, you know, you're sociable. You enjoy good stimulating conversations. Wow. Yeah. Some of the other two clubs are reclusive and appear to need no one. I'm like, that's really an interesting. I'm not sure that that's either, because you seem really outgoing. In truth, the two of clubs has a lot of fear issues. They just, you know, they kind of bubble in the surface. And a lot of times what we do, we hide our fears, and we don't let them come out of the closet. We lock the closet on them, you know, closet door on them, so they can't get out and go, I'm not afraid. You know, it's like whistling in the dark, you know, kind of thing. Let's see. There's usually somewhere along in your life one special person that you attach, you know, yourself to. Whether it's spouse, whether it's friend, I would guess that, you know, you and Bonnie have been together for a while, so she's, you know, the one in the friendship category there. You have an Ace of Spades karma card, which can mean an inner fear of death or change, which explains, you know, a lot of where you come from. You're endowed with a lot of natural abilities and gifts. You can really be exceptional in business and with people, and you do prefer to work in partnership rather than alone. That's kind of the nature of a two.
Okay.
One of the more fortunate life paths. There's a lot of protection surrounding you. You've got a lot to be grateful for. If you just recognize the abundance in your life, it helps dispel that underlying fear that can, you know, that can be damaging. And it's like, and you know, with the age and stage you are in life, it's like it's very highly probable that you face a lot of your fears. You know, you may have opened the closet, you know, door already, and you know, swept it out, whatever. Because that just, you know, again, that just comes with. Life crisis, what they call in the mundane world, and so when you hit 45, your cards are exactly the same as you were, as was the day you were born, and, you know, tend to, the second half of your life, you know, from 45 to 90 is what they call, you know, programming the second half of your life, so you're kind of, I think you're kind of into that, and it's like, you know, that's why so many people do that change at 45, and people all of a sudden go, wow, you know, we didn't know what you were like, Mr. Larry, and so, yeah, this is the new me, you know, it's like, because you're just making yourself, literally, making yourself over. You love to talk and share ideas. You have an incredible mind that really, you know, makes fine distinctions. You're witty. You're charming. And then, you know, the flip side of that, because there's always two sides of the coin, unless you're caught up in fear, you know, that can make you irritable and argumentative. So it's like, you know, if you're operating from your higher self, you know, from your love side, and, you know, that positive comes out, if you're operating and kind of, you know, a little bit afraid of something, you know, whatever, it's like that's when you get kind of argumentative and stuff. Much of your life is fated, and part of your challenge is just simply to accept things as they are, especially yourself and your close relationships. In relationships, some of the most physically beautiful and attractive, intelligent people are in two clubs, and, you know, people look at them and, you know, just think that you can have anyone you want, you know, and sometimes... In some cases, it's too hard to choose the people that you choose to be with. there is a choice there. And that tends to be more of a trait in the females than the males. Love relationships for you are more of a reflection of your state of inner wellness and self-love than any other factor. It's just that if, you know, that inherent fear was not recognized and confronted, you often settle just to avoid being alone, you know. And it could have even been, you know, like I'm going to say in your past, you know, whatever, someone who could have been, you know, abusive, psychotic, weirdo in some way, you know, whatever, and which could be, you know, lead to codependent or other not so good relationships. But, you know, like I say, again, I'm thinking that you're probably, if you have those things in your life, that's kind of in the past, you work through them, you know, you're where you're at today. You've got a Six of Spades in Pluto and a Queen of Heart result cards. That's often the indicators of one or more fading relationships that is meant to help you learn the meaning of responsibility in your affections. Meaning of the Six of Spades in the Pluto card, we need to look at that kind of carefully, because it's associated with the hurdle that stands between you and your satisfaction and love. You've got a Four of Hearts in Mars, and that tells us you often choose a mate who is very, very, you know, sexual, maybe argumentative or aggressive, and that you yourself can be the instigator of the arguments that come up from time to time, because, you know, you've got the kind of mind that can, you know, literally pick things apart. You'd probably be really good if you were, like, a lawyer or something like that. You could just, you know, tear them apart and stand. You know, but find mistakes and shortcomings. It doesn't seem to help sometimes in the actual choice you make in relationships. you know, to may have that discrimination because, you know, you tend to choose in the heart, especially with that four of hearts you got in there. But you've been, you know, many of the two of clubs people have been known to choose a mate who is less than ideal in many respects. And then once you're with that person, your critical nature kind of surfaces and you can spend a lot of time and energy focusing on trying to help your partner make themselves over, which they don't always appreciate. A successful relationship often requires you to, you know, to kind of moderate that tendency and to bring out the best in your mate while at the same time, you know, not allowing your own idealism, because you've got some, you know, really some good idealistic things, to turn a completely blind eye to glaring deficiencies in your partner's character. So discrimination is the word there. It's in your choice of partners, is, you know, brings you great rewards. And this is one of the cards, you know, you can usually have anyone you want for a partner. You've got more freedom of choice in this area because you yourself have a lot to offer. It just takes time to understand, you know, your impulses, needs, desires, you know, all that good stuff. The Four of Hearts, I'm just going to see what that Four of Hearts and Six of Spades has to say about your, that's kind of the same as your, like in astrology, your rising sign. With that Four of Hearts there, it's called the Family card, and it represents a foundation of love, and all the good things associated with home and family. Those things are really important to you, and you probably go out of your way to make sure you have a circle of close friends that you can count on, that your home is, you know, comfortable, enjoyable. You might have special skills that relate to either food or beauty or home life or other areas. Highly possible that you're a good cook. In any case, you find ways to create security in your inner circle, family, and friends. Okay, you're a protector, you're a helper of those that you love. You hate to see any of them, you know, leave the circle. Others feel nurtured in your presence, and you know, you got to watch out sometimes that you don't mother hen him to death, okay? You don't smother him. Family life can bring a lot of joy, whether it comes by marriage or just by creating your own family, you know, among those you love the most. I say sometimes that some of my best family are the ones that I have adopted spiritually.
Yeah.
Nick also got that Six of Spades. That's your secondary planet, planetary ruler. It's like, see, Scorpio people get two of those, get two of the planetary rulers, and Leo gets none. It's like they have their a double air card, so it's like that's where their other card went.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, it's funny. let's see, with a Six of Spades, it adds a strong, steadying influence to your personality, which can really be good. You tend to create peace in your life, and you wait for things to come your way. Health matters play an important role in your life, and you're probably learning lessons about the results of whatever lifestyle you're leading. You don't get away with abuses in that area. You've got great potential for success, but you've got to find ways to get yourself out of the ruts you get into at times to achieve it. My grandmother always used to say, you know, a rut is a grave where the end's kicked out. Don't sit there too long. You know, you might find yourself...
Your grandmother
way
too.
Yeah, I know. For something I never feel because it wasn't pursued, okay? Your life has a really destined quality about it. When you least expect it, something dramatic happens to take you to the next chapter. This doesn't mean you dwell in drama. It means that things happen to you in life. And I know, because I'm the poster child for this, and you just go, what did I do to deserve this? You know? That stuff does happen in life, and it's, you know, through no fault of your own. Okay. Well, good.
I can't wait for things to happen to me, Kelly, so go ahead. Keep going with Diana.
Alrighty.
I like that.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm going to look a little bit here at her yearly influences here and just see where she's at and what's going on with her. And I think in November, that November date was fairly soon, so I think she's probably tough. I'll look up and see what the exact dates are for the planetary placements here. Because in this system, what it attributes, it gives, like, each planet 52 days to, you know, kind of have a say in your life for the year, so to speak. In your case, your personal year, of course, starts on November 18th, and the first one you have there is Mercury. You get Mercury for 52 days there, and that goes till January 10th. So you just finished with Mercury. So now you're in your Venus time frame. Venus time frame of the year goes from January 10th until March 3rd. Then you start Mars, goes from March 3rd until April 24th. The Jupiter time frame goes from April 24th to July 15th. June 15th, Jupiter, okay, April 24th to June 15th, and then Saturn is June 15th to August 6th. The Uranian time frame is August 6th to September 27th, and Neptune is, of course, September 27th until you turn your next year. So you're just early on in your year, so let's see. You've just gotten past the Mercury time frame there, and let's see what this year gives you here. Long range, you have a two of spades, which a lot of partnerships there. Anytime you get a two, there's, it's an indication of you wanting to be in partnership in some way, shape, or form. The spades also tell us that there's one or two things, either it's going to be some hard work or possibly some health issues coming up for you this year. So the things that you're kind of focused on for the whole year. Mercury, you had an ace of spades. That's the transformation card. That's actually the card of the Magi. And that's the one that indicates, like the phoenix, burning up its own nail into a pile of ashes and then rising again. There's some kind of, serious transformative things that happen. And they kind of, I look at these as kind of like a watercolor wash. They kind of, they impact specifically for 52 days. And then the rest of the year, it's like, whenever things pop up, it's kind of like that watercolor wash. It's kind of that influence there, okay? So even though it's for a specific period, it's like you've always kind of got that thing going there. Also, in your Mercury time frame, you have the King of Diamonds, which is a businessman's card. So there may have been something either transformative in terms of, the Ace of Spades has also been known as the death card, in a lot of different places and spaces, and people go, oh, my goodness, the Ace of Spades. But I've seen things happen, unusual things like, a pet dies or, Great Aunt Sally or somebody. Sometimes there's a death in the family, or sometimes there's the death of, in a friend's family, something like that. But, mostly it's like transformation of some sort. There's, of course, death is a transformation. It transforms us from life here in the 3D to, we go totally to spirit life. So we do have experienced that. But also with that businessman's card there, it would have been an opportune time to either, have been in business for yourself or, starting a new venture, something like that. Some way, businessman's card is going to transform your life in some way. It could, maybe relating to finances, maybe relating to a new venture, whether, you're writing a book or, thinking about starting your own, home business or whatever. There's some kind of transformation in business things happening there. Right now where you're at in Venus, you've got a four of spades and a nine of clubs. Fours are very solid. The nines give a lot of transition. There's anytime you see a nine, a lot of times that something is coming to an end in some way, shape, or form. And the fact that it's in your scholarly cards, it's like it's the clubs are kind of the scholars of the deck, so it's in learning. But it's also, because it's in Venus, I'm going to say something in relationships. So something in relation to relationships. Maybe you're studying about love. I don't know. But something there, there's one door closing and another door opening. But you're looking for stability. That four of spades is really, you want something solid under you. You think of a chair has four legs, a table has four legs. Things that I have, in life that are square. You're looking for something really solid there. So, looking for some solidity in a relationship, and maybe there's something just transformed, one relationship ended, or, an aspect of it ended, or, something occurred where there's an ending, but, and you're looking for some stability there. Mars, I'm just going to kind of do these a little bit quickly. It's like you can always go back to archives. That's the wonderful thing about Blog Talk, is they do have archives, and this show's archives, so you can go back through. If I get to talking too fast, you can't keep up with notes. It's like go back through, either download it or just listen to it, and you can push the start button and catch it as you can. In Mars, you've got a 10 of hearts and a five of spades. The five of spades, I know, is a card of the wanderer, and that's how things manifest. It's like, so you might be looking at either some geographical location or possibly just, rearranging your house, for springtime, something like that. Something's relocating, but there's a restlessness. It's an underlying restlessness. Mars relates to men and legal things. So I'm going to say the 10 gives you a lot of positive things in the sense that, that would be an overcoming card. The five would just say, watch yourself a little bit, because the odd cards of the deck tend to be the more challenging ones, and the even cards of the deck tend to even this out. It's just kind of a good rule of thumb with that. Also, Mars with that 10 of hearts, that's your circle of 10. It's like, there's something there with men, within your heart, you know, whether it's relationship or it's like being in a group, something like that, you know, maybe some, you know, men admirers like that. It's like Scorpio women always seem to have a lot of male admirers, let's just put that there. But there is some definitely, you know, some restlessness, you know, either geographically or within yourself, within your soul, kind of soul searching. Jupiter, man, you hit like the jackpot on this one. You've got 2 8s in Jupiter, an 8 of clubs and an 8 of diamonds. Jupiter is the most blessed time of your year. And anytime you get got diamonds in Jupiter, you know, in Jupiter, diamonds are a girl's best friend. It's like there's potential for, you know, some sums of money to come in, some new learning to happen. But those two power cards in Jupiter, it's like you're going to have a really fantastic run there. Whatever's going on there, it's going to be really good. And then you turn right around after Jupiter, that expansion, and you get Saturn. And I know I thought Ron would explain Saturn to us really well today. It was pretty cool. But there's a 3 of diamonds and a 6 of spades. Threes give a lot of creative energy, but they can also be stress and worry. And there's usually some karmic indicators there where if a diamond shows up in Saturn, there's going to be some repayments to be made, some balancing of the scales. And especially true when you've got the 6 of spades, which is the card of karma, in Saturn, there's going to be a tremendous balancing of the scales there somewhere. Some, you know, whether it's in, you know, this life, next life, last life, whatever it was, you're going to have some kind of balance brought in. I'll say whether you like it or not. So this is one of those where make a friend of that chain coming in because, just, you know, whatever's happening, just go, okay, I'm not going to be, you're going to have the rug pulled out from under me. I'm going to realize this is the balance, okay? And it could have something to do with finances, you know, whatever. But you know, there's also, like I say, that finances, creativity, but Saturn can be a very, as Ron said, you know, it can be really, you know, oppressive. It can be hard. It can be, you know, it's really going to make you, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's and really make you put things in place, which isn't a bad thing. It's just, you know, if it puts you to the wall with some screws in there, it's like that's not the pleasant part. And it's like, and the only time that really happens is if you're not learning the lesson. Think of it as, you know, your dad who'd give you a warning before he took you out to the woodshed, okay? It's not like that. After the Saturn time is the Uranian time. You've got 4 diamonds and a king of clubs. With that, 4 diamonds, you know, again, you're wanting that stability with money. But it's also diamonds is a deeper issue with your values. So it's like, you know, really looking for stability in your values as well as, you know, as well as the financial. But the fact you've got that King of Clubs there, Uranus is also, I loved it, he was, you know, saying the brain waves and that kind of stuff. I always looked at him as a double lightning bolt, but it's usually unexpected. Uranus is the philosopher, the unusual things, you know, philanthropic, friendships, you know, universal type of love, that kind of thing. So whatever happens in the Uranian time frame, it's like it could be something really an unusual proposition for financial stability. With the kings, it's really needing to be in charge of, you know, if it's finances or work or whatever it is, really needing to take them home and, you know, steer your ship there. So it's like, but it's going to be in an unusual way. I'm just going to say it's not going to be, I think of it sideways. Look at the little sideways for a little bit when you're in Uranus, okay? Sometimes it comes off like that. Neptune, you got a 3 of clubs. 3 of clubs there, again, is Neptune is the planet of its dreams, its fantasies. Welcome to Fantasy Island. Yeah, right. It's illusions. Just make sure that you don't have your rose-colored glasses on so tightly that you don't see what's really going on. There's always possible for deception in Neptune because it's, you know, it's dreams and it's good stuff, but can also, if you do step out of the rose-colored glasses and then you hit reality with the next time thing, which is, you know, that Mercury comes up, all of a sudden you go, oh, my goodness, that was a nightmare and I didn't see it coming. It's like, yes, get your rose-colored glasses off. But again, that, you know, a lot of creativity, and there may be some interesting ways to either offer, he just keeps coming back to that, either doing some kind of brochure, offering some kind of class yourself, you know, some kind of teaching, whether it's a, you know, maybe a college outreach program or something like that, you know, something that you have to offer the world that people want to learn about. And it just, you know, it may be either you're learning or you're teaching others, something along that line. But it's going to be, you know, an unusual way to do, you know, different way to do things. The rest of the cards, there's 5 cards for the year. Again, you know, we mentioned that two of spades for your long range, but you've got a Pluto and result card that are read as a pair. The Pluto is kind of your challenge card for the year. The result card or resolution card is kind of the answer to it. So your challenge card with Pluto is a Six of Diamonds. So, again, that's kind of karmic in your values and in your money. There's some problematical things happen with that. So it's like, you know, maybe it needs some balancing. But the result is a Jack of Spades. Jack is youthful. It's creative energy. Can be a young man, you know, someone who comes in and help you, something like that. Just be aware, though, because they can have, you know, person coming in to help you do things, can have good positive aspirations, and yet everybody, the Jacks really have that double side where it's like, you know, they kind of flip-flop. They remind me of a fish flopping on a bank. It's like, you know, sometimes they flop good, they flop bad, okay? So just kind of be more aware when there's a Jack involved, especially a Jack of Spades. Environment card is a Three of Hearts. Again, there's a lot of that creativeness. But there's also restlessness. There could be, you could find yourself, if you're not, you know, married or in a relationship, could find yourself, like, dating three people or, you know, having three jobs, you know, or something like that. But there's, or interesting things happening with three of your friends or, you know, something like that. And that's best for the year. Your displacement is the Six of Hearts. So, again, a lot of this stuff is in relationships this year, and a lot of it looks like it's changeability, it's creativity, but it's really those, every six is a karma card. So there's something, again, with the karma happening there with relationships. So lots to look forward to in your year. I mean, really, I hope you pull back and let us know how you go.
Well, yeah, well, Diana, I'll let Bonnie know. Yeah.
Well, Diana, you're going to have to listen because, you know, something's kind of interfering with my hearing in here. And, you know, I got to tell you, Kelly, it's so funny because she had a reading and they kept telling her she was going to learn something or teach something. And she doesn't tell anybody, but she's taking online courses to benefit her nursing ability because she's my nursing school roommate. So
cool.
I keep saying to her, well, if you're not learning, if you're not like saying anything, Diana, you're on the internet learning, and so that's part of maybe what you're seeing and what everybody else is seeing, but I'm not sure. And
right,
she's also a great teacher because she's been doing this for a very long time, and she's very authoritative. So, and she's very thorough and great at her job. But while you were talking, of course, her mom showed up. So, of course, oh, yes, Diana. Oh, yes, she does. She's prepared for everything. Diana, watch your money. That's what she's telling you in that tone of voice. So something must be coming up, Kelly, this year about her money. I'm not quite sure, you know, what you'll have to go back and listen. But it's something about their money right now. So I don't know if she's saying, Diana, watch your money. Now, mother was always very, your mother was pretty cautious, so, and is her father in spirit, Diana?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, because her father came through with her, and it was a male spirit, and he's just standing there with her, but apparently,
uh-huh.
I would believe karmically they were linked in life, because they're standing next, he's standing behind her, which means he's a generation behind, but he's right here. He's giving a lot of love, and even though, a lot of love to you, and a lot of love to your mom, so I'm not quite sure what their relationship was, but he's very quiet, seems like he's quiet. I mean, he is to me, he's not really, you know, some of them knock on my door and, you know, try to bang me with pans and everything else. He's really nice standing behind your mom. And you know, your mother is saying, Diana, watch your step. You know,
watch
they're coming.
That's what that Jack would say to me is, like, be careful. Anytime a Jack shows up in a year-long reading, it's like, be cautious because I look up the different Jacks, you know, but most of them, from a Jack to a King, thank you. I know. Mine put in little whatever's there. There's a song on that one. The Jack of Spades, it's called the actor card.
What card?
It's called the actor card. And sometimes it can be someone putting on, you know, coming on a good
front.
Something
at work.
Yeah.
It's something at work,
you know, Kelly. But it's always, I'm going to say, it's always like, you know, kind of watch your pocketbook. Be careful when you drive and just, you know, in some way, make sure you're not ripped off. Because Jacks can be, you know, they can be a little bit backstabby if they're not operating on a high, you know, on a high level. It can be an indicator of somebody like, you know, like stay at work or wherever. But just watch, you know, watch your purse, watch your backpack. You know, be careful of not of loss or theft, you know, that kind of stuff. And that would include, I'm going to say, oh, that was interesting, loss or theft of your reputation. So it might be, you know, with the word battle thing. So just be highly aware, because sometimes my kids watch those little things, you know, the Veggie Tales, and it's like, you know, like the rumor weed. So it's like sometimes things can happen, and they happen, you know, you see the person every day or something, and you don't realize that they're saying things about you that are not kosher, and nobody else realizes it either, because they think that, you know, I mean, it's one of those really weird things where it's like, well, you know, they see them every day and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, this surely must be accurate because, you know, they're saying it and this other person's not contradicting them or whatever. So, you know, a lot of misperceptions can occur.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. Yeah, I'm seeing it at work. You know, I'm not going to say it because I know your work situation. So it kind of is stupid for me to keep, you know, but your mom is saying it. Your mom is saying it. Watch your back, Diana. It's like, watch your back, Diana.
Like, in other words, like somebody is not truly being sincere with me and not being a true friend. They're really, you know, stabbing me in the back, sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love you, Di. I got to get to the next person, but you know what?
Oh, I know. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Bonnie. Call me later when you can.
I will. I love you, girlfriend.
All right. Have a good show. Thank you, Kelly.
Oh, you are welcome. That was a pleasure to talk to you.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
You know what, Kelly, I won't even tell you. She's so organized, and I'm going to get to the next caller, but she's so organized that I never brought in. I'm so airy, and I'm so no earth. I'm not grounded at all. And when I was in nursing school, I never brought anything to eat. I never would bring anything to eat. And they asked me to be in their group to, like, you know, each one of us would bring, like, a meal for that evening. And then so we'd all end up just having to bring one. Well, I never brought the one. So I think I brought, one time I brought a little packet of some type of macaroni and cheese for five people. And at that point, they wanted to kick me out. So what Diana did is she used to bring my meal for me. So I just thought, you know, this girl saved me in nursing school. So the next caller I'm going to take is 0574. 0574, we are so lucky to have you. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Peg.
Hi, Peg. How are you?
Good. How are you, Bonnie?
I am so glad to talk to you. I am so happy to hear your voice. It's so funny because, you know, our last caller that I was talking about, Diana, her mom who came through, his name is Peg.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Yeah, and aren't we talking to you, Peg?
You are talking to me, Peg.
Oh, can you?
Wow.
How can Kelly and I love you, and how can we help you today?
Just kind of what, any information that you have about anything in particular. There's a few things that have been going on, and just wondering if you might have some information from spirit or whoever.
Okay, would you? You know, that's so broad.
Is that
for
too
us?
Broad?
Yeah, it's so broad for us because we'd have to I'd have to go into the universe and find everything about you, and that could be past lives, now lives, and you don't have enough time, and I don't have enough time. So I'd love to do it. So either, like, if you would like, Kelly, would you like an Atlantean card read? Because that's going to be tell you about what's going on in your life. Kelly, you go for it, and if anything comes up, I'll be writing it down for you in order writing.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I just need your month and your date and your current age.
Okay, December 14th.
Ooh.
I mean, 17th, not 14th, 17th.
Oh, that would be that would make a big difference.
Oh, that's
okay.
That's a Freudian.
You need the year?
No, just how old you are, what your current age is right now.
59.
59, okay.
Old lady.
What's going on? Okay.
That's
a good age. Hey,
50s are
good. I like this.
Yeah, Peg,
okay.
That's a great year.
It is. It's a great year. I love it.
Yeah.
It's been the best in a long time.
Oh,
wow.
We're really happy to hear that.
This is what I talk about when I talk about energies happening. Okay, our first caller was a two of clubs, and Kay is an ace of clubs. So it's a clubs day here, and they seem to be right in order. So let's see what it has to say about ace of clubs people in general, and then we'll take a little bit of a look and see what it has to say about you in specific for your year. Ace of clubs is a desire for knowledge is the name of the card. It's accompanied also by the desire for love, which is you have a two of hearts as a karma card, and that's the main influence for that card. When you combine those two, it's like Kay tends to be a person who is a student of love as much as one who would like to truly find, you know, an ideal mate, unless you already, you know, have one there.
I do.
Sometimes, you know, at this age in your life, you know, a lot of times you've found that perfect person. Let's see. Like all aces, you have some impatience and some restlessness, although time kind of cures that for all of us. Your curiosity leads you to be an avid student. Often, you know, you have like an immense library of some sort, or, you know, collection of learning material of all kind, or, you know, it could be on DVDs or CDs or books or whatever in this age and stage. You know, if this age and stage, you can have a whole library on a little bitty, you know, like what do they call those little flash discs or something. It's like, it's amazing how much you can carry around. But you're always interested in new things, ideas, topics of discussion. You're really smart. You can use your brains and creativity to generate ample funds, you know, for whatever you need. You can make money in things associated with the arts or groups of women, anywhere where creativity and quick thinking can be utilized for profit. You're very congenial. You're considerate. It helps you make friends at work. You know, it gives you good communication skills. A lot of people feel very comfortable around you just because of your ability to make others feel special and included. You've really got a quick, sharp mind. You're witty. You're an avid talker. Interestingly enough, it has a blip here about mothers. Mothers are usually an especially important figure in your life. She was probably a very powerful woman with a sharp mind, a great deal of intuition. Much like the Ace of Diamonds, who also has a Queen as a Mercury card, the relationship with your mother formed lasting impressions upon you that often affects your love life and relationships with women in general throughout your life. Your later years, there's a caveat here. There's, I give the good, the bad, and the ugly here. Will not be satisfactory unless you turn to spirituality for guidance. But, you know, here's the fact is, you know, you're calling here on kind of a spiritual show, so it's like I'm assuming that you probably got some spirituality in there, so it's like things will be going, you know, better with that. You do have 2 sevens in Uranus and Neptune, which represent the last part of your life. They can bring material problems or spiritual success. So, again, a lot of that is just tapping into that spirituality, because when you've got the spiritual success, you're going to have the material problems are going to disappear, so to speak. The happiest Ace of Clubs people are the people whose eternal quest for knowledge extends to self-knowledge as well. You're often what's called the divine discontent. You know, you like to travel. You like changing your life and in your work to satisfy both your desire for knowledge and that inner restlessness that you have. And this is one of the four special cards that we call the semi-fixed cards. The Ace of Clubs has a unique connection with the Two of Hearts, which is its karmic soul twin. There's only two other cards in the deck that share that, which are the Seven of Diamonds and the Nine of Hearts. And though you see seven karma cards, you know, like listed here, only the two is really close to you. The Ace of Clubs and the Two of Hearts are nearly exact mirrors of each other. They kind of share each other's personality traits and characteristics. The Two of Hearts is the card of the lovers. The Ace of Clubs has this lifetime ambition to find the perfect love, and that's how that mirror reflection works. It doesn't necessarily mean the perfect marriage, you know, because we can marry a perfect lover, but marriage is not necessarily, you know, that requirement, although in our generation, you know, it kind of really was. But you're really looking for that love relationship, that love affair that is, you know, timeless, eternal, you know, that Romeo and Juliet, except that they get to live, you know, you know, perhaps out of this world, even, you know, perhaps off world, okay? Let's
see.
Kelly,
I just feel she has it. I don't know why I feel that one.
Okay.
Go ahead. I mean, you know, that's...
Yeah. somehow or other, you know, you never let go of that dream and true lasting love. You know, it's like you, even with your, you know, when you finally get your spouse or you have your spouse or whatever, it's like sometimes it's harder because when they, you know, when they, I'll say step out, it's like mine stepped out to the other side, okay? And yet he's still with me. So it's harder to have, in some respects, a partner in, you know, sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder to have that partner in spirit because they can give you a lot of information from the other side, but it's, you know, you need a shoulder to cry on, and it's really hard to cry on a ethereal shoulder. It really is.
Right.
Ace Club has really high ideals about love, and because of this, you can really what's called crash hard on the rocks, you know, when your dreams are not met, think of the ocean, you know, the way. You can go into a relationship with great expectations and enthusiasm, you know, especially when you found, you know, I thought I found the one. But if you place any expectations on a relationship and it fails, you know, it just is devastating. It really does. It's just like, you know, you just feel like you want to close shop and, you know, I'm not going to trust or open up again, you know, whatever. But your dreams are never quite lost. You might never, you know, might never take the chance again in order to protect yourself. But it's like, I'm just going to put that out there and say, I'm out the closet door and try again. You know, it's like the ones who have been hurt in this way need to, you know, see their relationships in a more, I hate to say realistic light, but just say more practical, pragmatic. You know, just realizing that as humans, you know, we all have feet of clay, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's like even the best relationships are created by working on personal and emotional issues in an open and loving way, not just by finding the right person to be with. It can be, you know, being the right person to be with, but that's the illusion created sometimes by that two hearts karmic partners. You know, we just got to find the right person. But a lot of times, you know, and I've seen this a lot, where, you know, it's not about finding the right person, is also about being the right person, and it's about being with that right person.
Right.
There can be a lot of loneliness for Ace of Clubs, you know, until you kind of get with that, you know, and find that person you want to be with, because grandmother's wisdom, yes. There's a kettle for every pot and a pot for every kettle, okay? So there is somebody on this planet somewhere, you know, that is whatever age and stage and, you know, of life you're in, there's always a good match for you. There's always, you know, something that's going to fit. And it's just, sometimes it's hard because, you know, we live on a planet with, what, you know, 6-7 billion people. And it's like, you know, you go, I'm just looking for one. Looking for one person in the 7 billion people. It's like, can you give me a clue? You know, it's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? You know, like, okay, will they please step up? Oh, golly. Now,
I got married,
Pat, I can't hear you. What did you say?
Oh, I got married at 33, and we've been married, you know, for the last almost 26 years.
Oh, cool.
I knew that because that's why I said to Kelly when she was reading, yeah, you found it. You know, I don't see any.
Oh, you found it. Okay.
I don't feel you single. I don't feel any. I feel the love between, like she said, you have the love cards. Go ahead, Kelly, because go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you said that because sometimes I don't always hear when, you know, when people make comments and like, don't quite catch it and go, what? Yeah, okay.
I know, you're in the zone, though. And I don't like taking you out of the zone, girlfriend. So you go ahead. No, I love that. That's why I try not to interrupt, and I always do. So please forgive me and Pat, because this is your reading. Let Kelly keep going, and I'm going to talk to you afterwards. Go ahead, Kel.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to do just a quick overview of your year here, and this is the part where it's like, you know, come back into archives and grab this. Because your personal year goes from, of course, December 17th to December 17th, and you've just started that. So you're into Mercury, the Mercury time frame for 52 days, and that goes until February 8th. February 8th starts your Venus time frame, and that goes till April Fool, April 1st. Mars is April 1st until May 23rd. You start Jupiter, that's your blessed time of the year, May 23rd until July 14th. Then you're starting with Saturn, which is July 14th until September 4th. That's, you know, the most challenging, I'll say. You know, if there's anything going to happen challenging, it's like there's going to be that during that time of the year. The Uranian time frame goes from September 4th until October 26th. And then your Neptune time frame, of course, comes in, and it's October 26th until your next birthday. So we'll go back and take a little bit of a look and see what's coming up for you this year, because it is. It's exciting to meet it, you know, to have somebody right at the start of the year, because it's like, yeah, I was like, you got your whole year ahead of you here. You have as long range, I know, you have as long range a seven of hearts. The hearts are always about faith. And it's like I always, you know, when there's sevens, I always think, you know, have a little faith and love will come to you. But you've already had that. It indicates it could be a year marked by challenges, possibly, in love and feelings in your close relationships. It's a highly spiritual number. It promises success in love only by letting go of attachment, which is really interesting. Thinking less of your personal needs, getting more of yourself. It may appear, emphasis on the word appear, that your closest family or lovers are kind of letting you down at various times throughout the year. But look for the hidden lessons in those experiences. Just, you know, see now that you're kind of being called on to let go of what they call petty attachments and really adopt a larger viewpoint. Let your spiritual power rise up and kind of conquer in that area. And you're going to find that you're transformed into a much happier, fulfilled person. For those involved in spiritual work, it can signal a lot of progress and success during that year. It can be a really successful year of giving of yourself, especially like if you're a counselor or personal helper. Your keywords, and these are the ones I say, you know, write on the 3x5 card and tape them on the bathroom mirror. But it's a year of learning to release fears and attachments concerning others and their love for us. It's learning to trust. Because a lot of times when these show up, it's ironic because, you know, we get into a relationship and it's like, you know, we attach to that person. And then along comes the seven and goes, okay, you're attached to this person, now unattached. It's like, well, it doesn't mean, you know, divorce them or get rid of them or anything like that. But it means maybe perhaps there's some way that they're not fully expressing themselves or, you know, you're attached to them and say, you know, it's best example I've got of this, my own personal stuff here, is one year, one of my second older son decided he was going, well, their basketball team was going to let their hair grow out, they're going to have afros, and then they were all going to bleach him like a bright yellow, you know, blonde. So my son is in the process. He's, you know, he grows his hair all out. He has this afro that's about 5 inches out of his head. He looked like, you know, one of the Jackson 5, just a little bit lighter there. And, you know, it's going, wow, there's a real 70s Z right there. And he goes, yes, and we're all going to, you know, we're going to bleach a blonde. I said, really? I said, I don't want you to be the first one bleaching a blonde. I said, you wait until somebody else on the team does that. And they all decided not to bleach their hair blonde. So he got to, have his brown hair, yeah. But he had his school picture with this, you know, with this hairdo. And we sent the school pictures to my dad, and my dad was, my dad was born in 1919, so he was very, you know, and he spent 22 years in the military, you know, crew cut, haircut, all this good stuff. He looked at his grandson's hairstyle and decided he wasn't going to post his picture on the picture wall that year. So when we went over to his house, because we made it down there sometime, Zeb's feeling, my second son's feelings got all bent out of shape because Grandpa hadn't posted his picture on the wall, so I kind of took my dad aside, and I said, what's the deal? You know, he says, well, that hair and blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, you know, let's have a little reality check. I said, do you love your grandson, or are you just attached to his hair? You know, it's like, you know, sometimes, what do you really love? Do you love the person that's there, or are you just going to have a cow about, you know, how his hairstyle is right now? So next time he went, the picture was up on the wall, you know. And I had to do some reconnoitering, you know, with my son. But, you know, sometimes it's that kind of attachment. It's like, well, I'm not going to love you if you're like this. And it's like, yeah, you know, and somebody brings that back into perspective. It's like, well, what do you really love? Do you love the way I look? You know, what if I decided to paint my skin purple this week and walk around? You know, it's like, do you love the inner me or do you love the outer me? And it's like, that's sometimes when we're being asked to detach or, you know, let go of that attachment. It's like allowing that other person. It's like, you know, maybe they want to grow their hair and have an afro style. Maybe they want to paint their skin purple. Who knows? You know, but it's like allowing your partner to express themselves in whatever way they need to, and it's okay. It's like it's not a reflection on you. It's like, you know, it's a reflection of whatever, you know, they need to express themselves in, you know, whatever crazy way they're doing. I don't know. Who knows?
Exactly.
You know. Okay. So that's a bit with attachment on there. Okay. So that's kind of the yearly theme. So it's like, you know, your husband may be doing, I'll just say, some interesting things this year. It's like, and you're just going to be challenged. It's like, you know what, honey? I love you anyway. In spite of yourself, I love you anyway. Whatever you showed up with, how, you know, it's like you might have showed up with the bozo clown suit at the, you know, at the library, and it's like, oh, I still love you, honey. It's okay, you know, all that kind of thing. We'll kind of go through here really quick. The Mercury time frame, you've got, I gave you the dates there, and now we're going to go through and kind of look at the cards. Now, you got a lot of diamonds and hearts this year. You've got an 8 of diamonds and a 10 of diamonds in Mercury, both really strong cards. There's power card, you know, for it's either for values or money. The 10 of diamonds is called the blessed card. So it's like, you know, maybe some blessings coming your way, you know, this time frame. In Venus, you have an ace of diamonds and a queen of diamonds. Again, wow, I'm just overwhelmed by the diamonds you got, you know, just right out the gate here. In Mars, you've got a six of spades. There's going to be some, you know, karmic reckoning there. That is the card of karma stuff. And the eight of diamonds, that businessman's card. So kind of a balancing of the scales there in the Mars time frame, which rules men, legal things, you know, that kind of stuff. Just kind of be aware things might be happening there to balance things out in some way, shape, or form. Jupiter, you've got, you know, the blessed time of the year. Now, interestingly enough, you've got two really hard cards there, but the fact that they're in Jupiter is kind of, doesn't negate them, but it makes them a lot softer. You've got a nine of spades, which is like what's called sometimes a secondary death card, and you've got a six of clubs, which is, again, one of those karmic balancing cards. So those together in Jupiter, it's going to be a lot less traumatic than if they were in Saturn. Thank you, God, they're in Jupiter. But it may be, it's one of those, you know, as a door closes, another door opens. And it might be just a signal, sign and signal. Watch your health or your husband's health. You know, something may be going on with health issues there.
Yes.
And then, you know, again, that karmic balancing there. And that's in clubs. So six of clubs, something with either, you know, might be work, career, you're learning, you know, something like that, something new you're learning. Something along those lines. But it's like, it's not going to be, like I say, it's not going to be as bad as it could be just because of the fact that it's in Jupiter. Now, you go into Saturn, which is the hard part, and you have a Queen of Hearts, which is good, playing with Queen of Hearts. That's a marriage card. That's kind of a positive, strong one. And then underlying, you've got the Nine of Clubs. So there is going to be some kind of a door, you know, door closes, you know, something or other, another door is going to open, and I see it opening there in the Uranian time frame with that Eight of Clubs. You've got an Eight of Clubs and a Five of Hearts in the Uranus time frame. So you're going to have a couple transitions of some things closing. It's another way of phrasing it is a door closes to maybe like a way of life or a line of thought or, you know, the way you perceive things. You know, maybe your spiritual knowledge advances, and it's like you have a whole new look at how you perceive things. You know, something fundamental is going to change. There's going to be some, you know, I'll just say it as some shakeups, and you're going to come out of it on the other side going, wow, I never knew. You know, but it's like it'll be a learning time. Yes, ma'am.
Kelly, I just want to tell everybody we have 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, so I'm going to say goodbye to everybody, but we're going to have Pat stay on, and then we'll finish Pat. Is that okay with you?
You betcha. That's fine.
Okay, so I just want to say, yeah, and it'll be an archive, Pat, so you're not going to be on air for the last part of your reading. Well, you might be, because I might not take two minutes, narcissistically, to say goodbye, but I do want to tell everyone and everybody listening, everybody in chat and everybody that called, I love you. I so appreciate you listening, you coming to the show. We can't do this without you. I have great co-hosts. We all want you to hear us. We love to give messages from spirit and all of our talents. And I want to thank Ron Cole, who is a famous astrologist. He's fabulous. Get a hold of him at livingastro@aol.com. And Kelly Coulter, which you're hearing right now, she can be reached at her phone number. And Kelly, I'm going to ask you to say that in 1 second, but she's an Atlantean life card reader. This is a rare talent. She's a wonderful human being. She's a fabulous soul. And as one of my friends has said, she has really channeled or actually have the energy of Einstein. This is a brilliant girl. This is an unbelievable way that you can connect with her on this radio show, because otherwise you might not know Kelly. She is fabulous. She's worth looking and getting her number and actually getting a reading from. But if you want to listen to us, she offers so much. I only wish you could tap into her knowledge, and she has her own shows too. Kelly, you have 57 seconds to tell people how to get a hold of you and your shows. So go have fun. And we love you. Love is in the airwaves. Go, Kelly.
Thank you, Bonnie. God, I never know what to say. I sit here and go blush. I'm like, thank you, Bonnie. That is so awesome. Thank you.
much.
Well, you are, baby. You are.
Oh, golly. Right now, the best place to get a hold of me is at my phone number is 719-289-4907 because, yes, just having those geographical relocation moments. I'm kind of on hiatus. It's like, yes, I do have three shows. When I get stabilized again here, it's like I have Spiritual Learning Connection. Actually, that's the Facebook group is the Spiritual Learning Connection, and the actual show is Spiritual Learning Channel. So we do different things with that. There's also one that I do as Rev KC with either Love Light Prayer and Share, that kind of stuff. And then I do a little blurb at Health Corner. 1 second, Health Corner. Okay.
That's it. We're done. Record. So I am going to tell everyone, and it'll be recorded, that please listen to Kelly's shows when she gets them back on. They're very worthwhile. They're so interesting. Again, she is one of the smartest, absolutely brilliant brains here in the Aquarian age. So, okay, we're going to finish with you, Pat. So go ahead and continue because this at least she can listen to archives, and I didn't want to stop your reading. So, Pat, go ahead. Go ahead with Pat.
Okay, and my name
is... Alrighty, you've got the pair that you've got and you're one of the, because of the fact that you're the ace of clubs, that's one of the, they call the, semi-fix, you never have an environment or displacement card for the year, but you do have a Pluto and result card. So you've got three major cards for the year. Your Pluto card is a five of diamonds, and the result card is, or the resolution card is a four of clubs. So we'll just kind of look at those really quick because that also will impact you for the year with different things going on. When Five of Diamonds is your Pluto card, is you're going to be challenged by major internal change in your basic value system. It's going to result in important external changes in your life because anytime, something changes, anytime you change your mind, something on the outside changes too. Sometimes you may get the feeling that those changes are forced on you, but if you look closer, you kind of notice you've really kind of been wanting some changes for a while, and now your desires are being fulfilled. But still, it's not always easy to, just go with the flow all the time. It's going to be a big transition. It really is for you. It's one of those things, you could change jobs. You could change, location of your business. You could change location of your residence or your primary relationship status. You just don't want quite the same things that you wanted earlier in life. Your priorities have kind of shifted, and that's probably what you're feeling. We've been having a big energy shift anyway in the heavens. If you go out and look at the sky, there's been a lot of energy shift, okay? But you're really being challenged to follow your inner truth, okay? To the extent that you are the one who wants and need those changes, this process is going to be easier. To get the complete picture, we're going to look at the meaning of that result card and kind of combine that. The affirmation, and again, it's that changes of value. But your affirmation with this card, this is, again, those 3x5 index cards, is I am challenged and transformed in making necessary and important changes in my life. My values are changing in order for me to make personal and professional progress. Okay, so that's, with that other one, you're going to end up with like three cards on your bathroom mirror here today. Let's see. And the other one, that result card was that four of clubs. And that's combined with, that five of that. You read those as a pair. Somehow in conjunction with that five of diamonds, you're achieving strength and satisfaction in your mind. You're going to make important and necessary changes, again, that change bit, to achieve that goal, and you're going to be successful. You might desire more knowledge or simply more peace of mind. At times, others could see you as stubborn or narrow-minded when you're pursuing that, but keep your goals in sight. You've got to realize that the focus, determination, and clarity of purpose build strength of mind. So no matter how challenging the Pluto card might be, this card, the Four of Clubs, guarantees that everything is going to come out really to a happy ending, if you will, satisfactory conclusion. You're going to end up this year feeling solid and well-organized. The affirmation for this one is, I achieve stability and satisfaction in my mind and my life this year. So that's kind of the two, the challenges is you're going through a lot of transformations, but the result is, because of that powerful four there, it's going to, it's all going to come out in the wash. It's all going to balance. It's all going to be good, when it's all said and done. So kind of like this is the year of, and when you feel like you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot, don't just hang on. Tie the knot around to a tire and make a tire swing while you're at the end of your rope and swing back and forth and go la, 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 la. It's like, I'm going to have some fun while I'm at the end of my rope, okay?
Yeah.
So don't
do you want to hear something? I saw when you said, oh, it was so funny because when you said, you know, this is a chat. This is going to be a year. All I kept thinking was, oh my goodness, this woman's. It's like going to be in like a washing machine where you turn around, and then when it stops, you go, okay, I can come out. So, you know,
I just thought.
Exactly. You know, I don't know why that came to me. But do you have a mother in spirit?
No, I don't.
Do you have a grandmother in spirit?
No, she's here. I have a mother-in-law in spirit.
Okay, because I have either a mother or a grandmother. And what she's showing me, maybe you'll know who it is then, because I only can get symbols for it when some spirits come and they'll talk right in my ear, like I told you, they'll bang on my head. Other ones come very quietly. This one, she's holding this little casserole dish, and she's handing the casserole over to me. So, and it looks like there's something in it. So a really nice, beautiful casserole. And I'm starved. So maybe that she was trying to get me to eat it. But to me, that symbol means that she was cooking or she cooked. And she says that she misses me. So somebody that you miss, and they know that you miss her. So I don't know if you knew your grandmother or your mother-in-law. And she also put she was with me, and do you have a very neat house, or did this person have a very neat house? Because there's, like, nothing out of place in this house.
Grandmother was very neat.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in it. It looks like there's a lot of decoration, but it's like everything looks neat. So it's not pristine where everything is wiped off the counters. There's things on the counters. It reminds me of a homey home, but it's clean as a pin, you know, that kind of thing.
My house.
And she
remember that castor oil is good. You know, remember castor oil was like a good remedy for things. So it may be something with the health stuff. It's like, take your castor oil.
Well,
castor oil.
I'll let you finish, and then I'll tell you.
Okay, it's a casserole dish, Cal, but not castor oil.
Casserole. Okay. I thought you were saying castor oil. I was like, well, okay, that helps a lot of things. Okay.
Right. Well, guess what? I wouldn't eat it. But the casserole dish she's handing me is smoking, and it's hot, and it looks bubbly, and it looks like it's good. What's funny, it's a small casserole dish, so it's not really big. So it means to me either there was a small family or her and maybe the husband or something. There wasn't very much. It wasn't a big casserole, and there wasn't a big family, you know, gathering when she handed it to me. Also, she also said, I hear the word grampy, and I'm not sure why. You called your grandfather, or somebody called him grampy, or there is a grampy in spirit. And she's handing her hand out to me, which means that when she hands her hand out and you're pulling her hand, it says that she'll be there to cross you over. So when you go, this person will be there to cross you over. Oh my goodness, they're right here. And so the hand from heaven and the hand that you're giving her, the hand from the universe and the hand that you're giving her, signifies that, you know, when you're ready to go, don't be afraid, because, you know, she's going to be right there and you will know that. So that's what I have for you. And then I see the number 64, so I'm not quite sure why. Does any of this make sense to you? And can, you know, if not, write it down, because sometime you'll be able to make it, you know, because I had very clear visions of it.
The casserole dish could mean I've been trying to change my food, you know, to eat more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lifetime struggle for me. You know, in dealing with food addiction, and I've had some hypnotherapy things to help me with my weight. And meanwhile, I've always been interested in nutrition, and I just enrolled in a health coach program. at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to kind of be like angels and nutrition and good health. You know, that's going to be kind of, because I feel like my angels have really helped me in getting back to this. And I have always wanted to help people, but I really felt that I couldn't because I couldn't be, I couldn't walk,
like you, have to help
you know, walk,
first.
Walk, you know.
Right.
So this health coach program will help me to do that. And the fact that I'm in a new mindset as far as that, I really want to do it. I know people that have done it. And so maybe that's why the casserole dish, I don't know.
Well, it's funny because it shows me a little casserole dish, which I bet would be the portions that, you know, because it, you know, usually if I see a casserole dish, and I'm not going to get into it very much, but if I see a casserole dish, they're going to be giving me a big, piping hot, you know, oh, my God, I'm going to eat this. And they're showing me a tiny, 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 and she's holding it with two hands, and it's tiny. So which to me, probably now that you're telling me that, is that you're going to have portions. You're going to eat, you know, that you're going to be able to get under control. Whatever you're going to eat is going to be portions. It's going to be small.
Right.
So maybe that's...
I was going to say, you know what's really funny? It's like I had this now, and I understand this. It's like I was prompted with this earlier, Bonnie, before I came on today. What I'm going to tell her is, there are several things in that little, in the show that I mentioned, the Health Corner. If you can get on the Blog Talk and look for, it's just called the Health Corner or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are things that I went in there and I had a partial show on, there's a thing called the water diet, the miracle of water. Kind of maybe listen to that. It's about, you know, maybe 10, 15 minute blurb. There's one about super soups and super, you know, slimming things and that kind of stuff. And there was like three things specifically with weight that I had, and I was going to bring those magazines. I don't know why. I was like, I wanted to put those on today, and now I know why. But there's different ways that you can actually, they've tested them. They've been, you know, come out of, you know, the university studies. And it's simple stuff. It's like if you can, like before, let's say, well, what is it? It's like get a 16-ounce bottle, and before breakfast, you know, about 15 minutes before breakfast, drink 2 cups of water. And then mid-morning, drink another 2 cups of water. Noon, drink a couple cups of water. It's like you go to the bathroom a lot, but what it does is with weight, it helps flush the toxins out of your system. You've got to, you know, we have a physical body. You've got to have a way to move that out. It's like, you know, your body will burn the fat and burn it out, but you got to give it a way to flush out. So it's like, and they'll say, like, I think it's like if you have like eight of those, you know, 16-ounce, you know, eight of those 16-ounce, you know, two-cup things, you know, per day or something like that. It's like if you can drink a minimum of 12 cups of water a day, it helps a lot. There was a specific recipe for the soup. It's like, you know, it's not just that cabbage thing or whatever. It has some, like, there's like a hamburger soup. But it's like you have soup for two of your meals. And it's very hearty. It's very filling. But it also...
I love soup.
Designed
I made it with this cream of celery... curried celery with coconut milk.
Oh,
and it was really delicious. It was like a puree.
You need to listen to Kelly. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting.
Yeah,
to Kelly has a great show. And you know what, Kelly? This just gives me more impetus to anybody listening when they do the...
What is the name of the show again?
It was just called... It's on Blog Talk. It was just called, like, Health Corner, H-E-A-L-T-H, Health Corner.
Okay.
It's like, you know, I think most of the stuff I usually say is like by Casey or something like that. But just look for Health Corner by Casey. And it's like I haven't done it for a while, but it's like the names of the shows, like some of them were like some of them will say, you know, like the water cure or the super soup or the swimming stuff. It's like, but most of them have that little, you know, little health tips, about 7 health tips at the beginning of the show, and then I was doing the Hopi prophecy stuff, which was another whole bag. But
and I like that.
It's like the health stuff, yeah.
No, I
so it's
I
like,
love
yeah, check those out.
That. Yeah, I love
That's
hearing
great.
About that, Kelly. She is, and we're going to have to end the show. But I hope that this, you know, has helped you. And listen, anytime you call in, Pat, we will be more than, you know, we love talking to everybody, and we don't want, really, if I could have this show be 4 hours, I would.
Well, thank you very much. And,
yeah, so
you're very welcome.
And
good for
and Take care.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Awesome, awesome. All right.
Yeah,
well,
man,
thanks, Bonnie. That was awesome.
I love you, baby. You are awesome. And call me. Will you call me? If you can call me on your – I'll call you on your phone in about an hour. Is that okay?
Sure. That I got to get back to my daughter. She's tried calling me three times, so I call her back.